10 minutes. It is just after 10. You are on Just For You. I'm Sipongile Mofokeng with you up until 11 o'clock. That is Sinachi. Others say Sinach. And the song Waymaker. So today we have Pastor Nosi Parakolota right here on Just For You, talking about hope, bringing hope to us, empowering us in that light. I know that there are many who need it. And we are all about hope, because the word is all about that, bringing hope, bringing strength to you. We receive inundated calls and WhatsApps of those who need hope, those who need prayer as a radio pulpit, and as the I Am youth as well. And so this is what we are all about. We give it. We give you the word, because the word works. That's the beautiful thing that we can give you. We are just like, is it Paul who says, we do not have money. We don't have all that, but we give you Jesus. And that's us. We give you Jesus. We give you Jesus. And I know that we give even more than that as Radio Pope. We give Jesus and all the other things that Jesus sends us to give. Let me put it the right way. He sends us to give some of the other things. He sends us to give out there, and we do. And we will bring him to you as he is all the time. So she's talking about hope and reminding us that in all circumstances, we ought to remember there's hope. God has been with all the heroes in the word, the heroes of our faith. And he is with us right now. He has not changed. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also reminding you that the book of Colossians 1:26 says to us that the mystery that has been hidden for so long, for many years, it has now been revealed to God's people, to us, the saints. And the mystery which has been hidden from ages and ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to us, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is our hope. That's why we will give you him. He is hope. He is our hope. There's no other hope that we have outside of him. And that's why we will give you Christ at all times. And with all the messages, with all that we bring to you, let your hope arise. Let your hope arise. Ranzu says, won't be afraid, followed by We Must Praise, talking about the hope of glory, taking us through to Pastor Nozipho Rakolota, edifying us, edifying the church.
Hlala ulalele umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla. Thola i-app yethu ku-App Store noma ku-Play Store. Futhi ungavakashela uradiopulpit.co.za.
Good morning, Sisibongile, and good morning to the family. I would like to bring a message of hope to the Church of the Living God today, a message of encouragement. The Lord would like for the church to remember that he's the God who changes the course of things, the course of life, the course of history. He's able to change those situations in our lives that seem too hard for us. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord was able to take out Israel out of the land of slavery with his great outstretched arm. He was able to give Abraham and Sarah the joy of parenthood in their old age. He's the God who was able to take Esther, a Jewish orphan girl in the land of Persia, and put her right on the throne when there had already been a queen. But God was able to orchestrate things in her favor to give her space in places where originally it did not make sense for her to be in those places. He's the God who was able to give Hezekiah, who had been on his deathbed with a terminal disease, he was able to give him 15 more years to live, and healing and blessing for his kingdom. He's a God who was able to take Peter out of prison using an angel, so much that even those who were praying for Peter thought that it was a vision when he arrived, because he's a God who changes things so drastically. I mean, the Bible says in the book of Genesis that in the beginning the earth was formless and void, but God's spirit was hovering above it. and God began to speak. And as he spoke, he brought light, he brought life, he brought fruit, he brought animals of different kinds, he brought the ocean, he brought everything that we know as it is today. And even when it was better before we messed it up as humankind, he was able to bring order out of chaos. And in the same way, God is able to bring order in our situations, whether it's sickness, whether it's debt, just like the widow whose husband had died, and now her creditors were looking for money and threatening to take her sons if she could not pay. And when she went to the man of God, she was instructed to go borrow vessels, and out of those vessels she was able to establish an oil company where she was able to an oil business let me say where she was able to sell that oil to pay for her debt and to live off of the rest of that money. God is able to sort out whether it's depression, debt, sickness, oppression. He's able to bring back our family that is lost back to Christ, even the ones that are deep in their beliefs that are ungodly and their deception. The Bible says that Saul was so passionate. He thought he was doing God a favor. He was serving God when he was actually persecuting the church of God. But on his way to Damascus, God changed this man who was persecuting the church to being a man who was now a servant of God, an apostle of the same people that he used to persecute. The Bible says even when God sent Ananias to go and pray for him, that Ananias said to God, "But God, this person persecutes the church. I've heard stories about him," because his reputation had gone beyond him. He was out there trying to work for God, but in fact persecuting Christ. But God was able to bring him back into his sheepfold. So he's able to bring even our family members who have lost the way, whether it's our children, whether it is just our loved ones, our friends. God is able. There is nothing God cannot do. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. And God will not stop at anything where you are concerned. The Bible says that when Jesus was in the garden, that he did not wish to actually go through the crucifixion, because when he was on earth, he was 100% mankind, but he did not allow that because of his passion about us as human beings. He did not allow that to stop him from actually going ahead with the plan of salvation, to die for us, to take the punishment and to die on the cross for us. He went through with it because we were his number one desire. And so he stopped at nothing. The Bible says if he's able, if he was willing to give us Christ himself, what else can he withhold from us? There's nothing else that God will withhold from us. It says in the word that if us evil people are able to give good gifts to our children when they ask, how much more he when we ask him? The Bible also says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, whatsoever you ask in my name, it shall be done for you. So how do we abide in Christ? How do we abide in Christ? The first thing is to stay in the word. The book of Joshua 1 says that this book of the law must not depart from our mouth. The Bible says we should meditate on it day and night, so that we may be careful to do everything that is written in it. And then it continues to say, doing this, it says you will be prosperous and successful. So we get our success and prosperity from abiding and meditating on the Word of God. The Word of God as written in the Scriptures. The Word of God also as given to us. The Bible says in Exodus 17 that God said to Moses that he should continuously recite in Joshua's hearing that God was promising that the Amalekites would always be defeated. So God says, write it in a book and keep on reciting it, keep rehearsing it, let it get into Joshua's ears. And that should be our approach when it comes to the word of God. We should write it down, whatever word that you receive of the Lord, whatever revelation that you receive as you read, as you go through the scripture, you should write it down and keep on repeating it. The Bible says in the book of Revelations, blessed is the one who reads this word and the one who hears this word. It's important that we read the word. It's important that we hear it as well. And sometimes to hear it, we have to speak it ourselves. And that is why Joshua 1 says, this book of the law must not depart from your mouth. So whatever the word of the Lord is, we must speak it. But for us to speak the word, we have to know the word. And we cannot know the word if we do not read the word. And we cannot know it if we are depending on being fed only on Sundays by our pastors. The Bible says in the book of Acts that the Bereans, they made sure that they went through the Bible themselves, the scriptures, to make sure that whatever was being taught was really like that in the scriptures. And that should be our approach as children of God when we hear the word of God, even from radio pulpit, even from the pulpit in our churches, because man is fallible. We need to be able to go home, go through the word ourselves, and receive from God himself. The Bible says in Exodus 20 that it was God's desire to fellowship with the Israelites himself. He said to Moses, tell the Israelites to sanctify themselves, because I'm going to come and appear to them on this day. And so they sanctified themselves and they got ready for God. But when God showed up, because God came and he was not like the gods of the other nations, God came and he was there was smoke and there was quaking and the voice of God, the Bible describes it as the sound of many waters. Even in the book of Revelations, when Jesus speaks, he speaks like many waters. And so when they saw this, they became afraid to fellowship with God themselves. So they say to Moses, you talk to God and then you come and tell us. But that should not be our attitudes when it comes to our fellowship with God, when it comes to the word of God. It should be personal. It was God's will for the Israelites to have their personal relationship with him. Yes, Moses saw God face to face, but God was willing to appear to them on their level. And the Bible says God will not give us something that is beyond what we are able to. Well, it's talking about challenges in that scripture, but in the same way, God was not going to appear to them knowing that it would destroy them. But they were too scared to face God. So they decided, no, Moses, you go talk to him and then you come give us the feedback. That should not be our approach. We should seek God ourselves. Blessed are they that seek after the Lord. The Bible says, if we seek him with all our hearts, he will be found by us. God desires to be sought after. God, the Bible does say that we should be holy as he is holy. And that is how we will be able to interact with God, because God does not dwell with iniquity. However, the spirit of the Bible, the message of the Lord over and over that you hear, from the Old Testament to the New, is that God wants to be sought after. God is looking for that effort more than you being perfect, because we will only be perfected by him in our walk with him, more than us being perfect. He wants us to want to be perfect and to strive towards it. And to, you know, the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God. We are blessed if we seek after him. We are blessed if we seek after him. And he is found in the scripture. The Bible says in the book of John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we know that this Word, that the scripture is talking about, is Christ himself. So when we seek God, we need to find him in the scripture. The Bible says, Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you speak about the scriptures, and it is these very scriptures that are talking about me. The Israelites first arrived in the wilderness before they received the Ten Commandments. The Bible says that Moses set up a tent of meeting, and it was a place where whenever the Israelites as a nation needed to, or as individuals needed to consult with God, that Moses would go to the tent of meeting to meet with God, to bring the issues from the nation to God. And the Bible says that whenever Moses would go to the tent of meeting, which was a little bit out of the camp, then all the Israelites would stand in their tents. And then as Moses would enter into the tent of meeting, the Lord would come down and be seen at the door of the tent of meeting. So it was a place where God's manifested presence was, and God's word went out that had been set up. Now, the Israelites, whenever they would see the presence of God coming down on the tent of meeting, they would get on their knees and worship the Lord when they saw that. Now, the interesting thing is that you find in the scripture that in the book of Exodus 33, verse 11, it says that Joshua never left the tent of meeting. Whenever Moses would go to the tent, he would go to the tent, then he would leave and go and attend to other matters of the camp, in the camp of the Israelites. But Joshua decided to dwell there at the tent of meeting, where the presence of God was, where the word of the Lord was. And when Moses went up on the mountain to meet with God for 40 days and 40 nights, guess what? The Bible says that Joshua was there with him at the mountain. And it was actually a conversation. The Bible tells us about a conversation between Joshua and Moses, when Aaron had made the golden calf for the people, because the people had thought that Moses was dead. They said, he's been away for so long, it's been 40 days. And God was actually in a meeting with Moses, talking to him face to face, writing on the tablets of stone with his own finger the Ten Commandments. And the people defiled themselves, thinking that Moses had died in the mountain. And you hear in the Bible, it tells us of a conversation where Joshua and Moses hear the sound of the people, and Joshua says, it sounds like they're singing or celebrating. So while the nation is getting lost down at the bottom of the mountain, Joshua is found at the mountain where God is busy speaking face to face with Moses and writing his word on the tablets of stone. And then the Bible says, as you know, that it was Aaron who had created this idol, whom he thought represented God, the God of heaven, who took out the Israelites out of Egypt, because he did not know God. He did not spend time with God. It was Joshua who knew the presence of God, because he did not only go into the tent of meeting when it was time to serve as Aaron did. Aaron was the right-hand man of Moses, but because he never dwelt in the presence of God, he was not even the one chosen to take the Israelites back into the promised land. It was Joshua who had been in the presence of God that got the honor to lead the people into the promised land. And it was not only these two instances that tell us that Joshua dwelt in the presence of God, but you also hear that when God had given the instructions for the tabernacle to be built, Joshua never left the tabernacle. Joshua stayed in the presence of God. Let this be also our heart's desire, to always be and to always dwell in the presence of God. I remember the Bible says in the book of Leviticus 7 and 7 to 9, let me put it that way, chapter 7 to chapter 9, it tells us how the priests and Aaron and his sons were ordained to be priests for God. God had to tell them, you must stay in the tent, you must stay here, do not leave for 7 days. God had to give them instructions. But with Joshua, he did not need any special instructions. He was always there in the presence of God. And Moses would come down, and the Bible says the glory of God would shine on his face. And then Moses would go talk to the people, and it would scare them, so he would put a veil all over his face. But Joshua was there when this face was glowing in the presence of God. He dwelt in the presence of God. This is the meaning of abiding in Christ, abiding in Christ. We need to be consistently seeking after the presence of God, consistently dwelling in the presence of God. Even Moses came down from the mountain, but Joshua stayed in the presence of God. May we live, move, and have our being in him, as the word says, let us be rooted and grounded in Christ, because that's where our life source is. The Bible says we can do nothing without him. He is our life source. He is the vine and we are the branches. When Moses prays to God and asks to see the glory of God, he says, what will separate us from all the people of the earth, of the world? And God says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you peace. I will give you rest. So it is God's presence that sets us apart. If we are not in God's presence, we are the same as everybody else. We are the same as religious people. Us going and visiting the sanctuary and coming back is the same as Aaron going in and doing his duties as a priest and then coming out, living away from the presence of God and not knowing him personally and intimately, because we do not have time for him. Another part, and the last part I will mention, of abiding in Christ is a lifestyle of prayer, intercession, and fasting. We see a pattern of a thread of fasting in the Old Testament. In the stories that I mentioned, like Hezekiah and Queen Esther, You see that there is there's a role that fasting and prayer plays in the kingdom of God, and there's a role that fasting and prayer, including intercession, plays in us abiding and in us seeing God changing our situations. The Bible says that his lifestyle, to pull away from the crowds and go and pray. And you hear that he would pull away before the sun even comes up to go and pray in a secluded place in private. He would pull away in the evening and go pray by himself by the mountain. He would always pull away. The one time we hear about Jesus pulling in a group to come pray with him was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And that's also the time when he also still pulled away to go higher to pray by himself, even though he had prayer partners that he had brought to come and support him and intercede for him. Yet he still was set apart praying by himself a little bit further up. So if Christ himself lived a life of prayer, Christ, who was God and fully man, still depended on prayer for the lifestyle that he lived, for the miracles he did, for fulfilling his purpose on earth, what makes us think that we do not need to fast and pray?
657 AM, Radio for Believers in Action.
Ah, that is Pastor Nozipho Rakolota bringing hope unto us this morning. And I hope that you are empowered, that you're encouraged. And we wish her all a speedy recovery. You can hear as she talks that she's a little bit struggling to talk to us, but we are grateful for the message, and may God keep on keeping her. Let your hope keep arising. We cannot do anything without God's prayer.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM. 657 AM. The sounds of your life.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.